Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pit Pass Network Interview. This time we got Andy Jane Kowiak with us tonight or this morning. Thanks for joining us, Andy.
Glad to be here.
Andy's the driver of the number 73 car in the Arca Menards series for Klaus Motorsports. So you just finished Daytona a couple weekends ago. So obviously not the finish you guys were looking for, 32nd, but as you were an innocent bystander in a wreck while running near the front of the pack, but on the bright side, you and your team earned your first career top five qualifying effort. So walk me through what that feeling was like, accomplishing that feat in qualifying.
Well, certainly, we're just trying to set ourselves up for the race. We don't spend a lot of time worrying about qualifying statistics, but I think it's a good measure of how far our team's coming and the speed that we had for sure. So it's encouraging to be qualifying up front, and certainly qualifying up front matters, but it really is just it matters because you get a better chance to finish good in the race. So that's what we're trying to do. But no, I mean, in the test, all the practices, in qualifying, we were always top five in speed. Certainly qualifying sort of, you're just basically it depends what you get because you group qualify, and in our group we had the top five, so it just that's the order they fell down and you're all drafting, so it could have gone any which way. But certainly qualifying was really more an indication of just having a good qualifying group for sure. But I think if you look at our practice speeds through the test and the race, where we were standing at the end, on the charts every time we went out, I think was a good indicator of the speed our Klaus Motorsports Ford had. And I think it's encouraging going forward with a new team and trying to run up front for all of our sponsors and carry those iconic red wheeling colors right to the front.
Awesome, for sure. And then I guess walk me through your race. I know when your wreck occurred, it was like you were in the front of the pack. So, but walk me through how you felt about how your race was going before your crash.
It's a tough deal because I think we were set. I think we were in a really good position to win that race, and that there's probably 10 guys that are saying that at the end of the day. So I guess that's just a symptom of super speedway racing. But I kind of went into that day knowing we had a good shot. I figured we had to beat the 18 and the 20, and they were both behind us at that point. And if you look at the cars that we had just passed, that we're running with, those ended up being the cars that were battling for the win at the end of the day. So, super speedway racing. Greg Van Alstyne, I mean, he had a great car too. So it just comes down to that last lap shuffle and being in the right spot at the right time. And he was, and he's got the trophy, and that's what we're working towards. So, no excuses on our end. We gotta keep putting ourselves in the right positions, and certainly luck's a factor. But I think that if you look at what we did and what we're trying to do, I think I think going forward, I think we're gonna have a good chance to win some races. So that's encouraging.
Awesome, definitely. And I saw on your after the race on your social media that you did a wheelbarrow race in the infield. Is that like a tradition you've done like after every race?
I think it's a Daytona infield tradition. We went and watched them before, and just we're trying to blow off some steam. Between all the indoor racing and the Daytona test and the Daytona race, it was a long month. So, certainly, it was good to blow off some steam and have some fun there. So, yeah, it was different. It gets a lot of attention. So, why not?
Yeah, definitely, definitely a fun thing to do after the race. So you guys also in the beginning of the season renamed your team from AJ Racing Team to Klaus Motorsports. So I guess walk me through that change and why it happened.
Klaus Motorsports is KLAS. That's Kevin LaPierre, Andy Seist. They're in the ownership role. We used a couple of the cars I was racing last year and cars that I had, and it's all kind of one team now. So I'm in the driver's role for it now. I was having a hard time. I guess you could say I was wearing too many hats the last couple of years, and it was just it was hard to be successful doing everything on my own. And Kevin LaPierre and Andy Seiss were in a position where they wanted to do this, and it was the best deal for me, and it was something that they wanted to do. And obviously, with what we've done in the last couple of years, we've built up a lot of the support system with our sponsors and our team. We have an awesome pit crew, we have a great crew chief, we got great sponsors. And so, obviously, with everything that we had going with the AJ Racing team, we were able to bring something to the table, and it just worked out good. And I think it's going to keep working out good. That was the best I felt in the car in 2 years, because, I'm still in the garage, I'm still wrenching on the car, and I'm still, setting up scale boxes, and I'm still doing the things that I do. But, the last couple of years with being, the team owner guy, every problem kind of landed at my doorstep. I was the last stop for all the problems. So I knew that, the problems came to me, I had to sit and solve them. And now I'm another link in the chain. I'm helping to solve, but at the end of the day, when it's time for me to go focus on my racing, I can focus on my racing. And certainly, spending time with my team and all our sponsors that are there, and kind of relaxing a little bit, and taking it in and really enjoying all of it, and then just getting ready to go focus on what I need to do as a driver. It's in all honesty, getting into a better car too, because there was things that I wasn't capable of doing, up here in Buffalo, where now Andy Seiss has better, he's more qualified to be doing the mechanical side, where I think I'm getting into a better car, and I'm putting my crew chief Mike Dayton in a much better position to be successful, because now he's worrying about finding speed in the car instead of finding loose bolts. You know what I mean? So it all adds up, and I think that it's going to keep adding up, and I think we're going to keep building this, and I think the sky's the limit.
Yeah, definitely for sure. Like it definitely helps you focus more on the driver's seat, and don't have as much hats. So definitely for sure. So you are a second generation racer, as your father Tony drove in the NASCAR Wheel Modified Series. Your dad sadly passed in 1990 due to a racing accident. But now, or he drove the 73 car, which is actually your number now in the ARCA Menards series. So what does it mean to carry on his legacy with that car number?
Oh, it means a lot. Certainly, and that's the family number, and it comes from my uncle Tommy, who's number 37, and my dad was his pit crew member, and he flip-flopped it. So it means a lot. I think kind of watching like Stuart Friesen, because 52 is like his family number, and you see a lot of guys kind of get opportunities to race in higher series, but usually they end up driving for somebody, and it's a different number. And so I think to carry the family number through all the tiers that I've been lucky enough to pass through, I think that's really cool. And I think it says a lot about the strength of the people behind me, really, because I'm still doing this with my Uncle Jake, and I'm still doing this with my family, and guys are working on my dad's car, and my mom still goes to all the races. So I think it's a big testament to just how strong of a racing family we really are, and how much that means to us. And certainly I'm grateful to keep being able to do it that way, and certainly going forward with Class Motorsports, and obviously they were okay with me running the 73, because you still see the 73 on the door. So I think it's pretty cool, and it's humbling, and like I said, it means the world to somebody that grew up in a racing family idolizing my dad and my uncle.
For sure, yeah, definitely a great honor and tribute for him, for your uncle and your father, for sure. So, what got your father into racing? As obviously, if he wasn't a racer, you may not have found the passion to be a racer. So, what got him into racing?
Well, it really started with my uncle. So my uncle was the first racer, and so my dad actually lived down the street, and he would actually ride his bike over and help him tinker on the car when he was a kid. So when he got older, he started bringing him to races, and then he met my uncle's sister, which is my mom, and so that's the reason I'm here. So I figure I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for racing, so I owe a little bit to it. So, but Yeah, it certainly started with my uncle, and even my grandparents were involved in racing, on both sides, just going to races, and my grandpa John was a crew member, so it goes back and back and back. So, but no, just I grew up in a racing family. My mom was a racer. We actually did a throwback ARCA car to her and ran a scheme a couple times in it last year. So, yeah, it just goes way back. And being from Buffalo, New York, we have a huge racing community up here, but we don't have a lot of, guys that travel around and do different things. Certainly Stuart Friesen is from he's from Canada, but he's not too far away. So everyone around here always kept an eye on him. And obviously, he's in the trucks. We're still in ARCA, but it's still pretty cool to kind of see all the people around here that are keeping an eye on me and all the support when I come back home. And it's cool to represent the Western New York area a little bit. And, definitely proud of that because it goes back a long way, especially with my family.
For sure, yeah, definitely great that it rolls back generation to generation. So that's very awesome. So, and then you mentioned you honored your mother because she used to race and you ran a similar design car that she ran back in her day. So what did that feel and mean that you got to ride? That was at Bristol, so ride around with those colors and all.
It was cool, and she was there, obviously. She got a kick out of it. And, it was just an idea that I had, and it was something that it kind of made sense. And it kind of helped that when we got that car, it was already black. And I'm not big on changing car colors because that costs a lot of money. And when I was, responsible for all that, I was usually trying to make it as easy as possible on everybody. So, it was pretty quick. It was easy. It looked really cool, and certainly being able to carry those colors to a touring division and kind of being on TV and like I say, it was cool to be able to do it at that level and have some fun with it and bring a lot of attention to how important my mom has been to me getting here and how. She took me to all the go-kart races. She goes to all my races, and in a way, it was still a nod to my dad and my uncle, and just it made everyone think about the family legacy. So it could be my mom or anyone or one of my dad's schemes, and at the end of the day, it takes everyone back to a time and a place where everyone was starting out and having fun and. Drinking a bunch of beers after the race and making a bunch of stories for me to hear my whole life growing up. So, it was just cool to, throw back a little bit and think about that stuff and think about where we came from and where we're going and certainly have some fun.
Yeah, for sure. Do you know the meaning or the reasoning why you did the throwback at Bristol? Did she race at Bristol before?
Be perfectly honest, the short track car was a black car, and that's where it started. That's where the idea started. And then as soon as it clicked in my head, I was originally thinking about doing like a throwback scheme to my dad, and I just got to thinking about it. It's like, man, wouldn't it be cool? No one ever throws back to their mom. Everyone does their dad or their grandpa. No one ever does like a mom throwbacks, and not a lot of people could say that their mom raced. So. I just it was kind of it was as soon as it clicked in my head. Actually, I was texting with Tara Evans, Richie Evans' daughter, like the minute I thought of it, and she's like, "Yeah, you got to do that." Close family friend of mine, and she's like, "Yeah, you got to do that. You got to do that." I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna do that." So that it was just sort of it clicked in my head, and as soon as I thought of it, I knew I was gonna go do it. So, and obviously my mom was a short track racer, and that played into it, but. And being p completely honest, it was just the right color.
Yeah, it's still very cool though that you did that honor for her. So like pre-ARCA days, walk me through your racing days beforehand.
So, started out in go-karts. Got into a street stock when I was like 15. It was a borrowed car and did pretty good. And then my uncle started helping me out and he bought me a better street stock. And One enough that I was able to get an opportunity driving a Sportsman Modified, which is like an SK Modified. We won a couple championships, and then I ended up taking over that team once I was financially capable of doing that. And then I added a Modified in 2013 and started doing indoor midget racing. And by 2017, we were building our own Modifieds and midgets, and we won a few races and just sort of been just building it up. But I always wanted to kind of, have my opportunity to race on some bigger tracks. And I was always a fan of NASCAR, and it just never really panned out just the way we were doing it. Obviously, being from Buffalo, and we were successful, but a lot of short track races are successful, and it doesn't always work the way you think it's going to work. And the whole ARCA thing just sort of came about as a whim, really. It was I was 30, 31 at the time, and it wasn't going to happen if I didn't make something happen. So I took a chance and bought a car from Mr. Schrader, and we basically went to Daytona with a lot of help from Andy Seiss and my crew chief Mike Dayton, kind of donating time, teaching me stuff. And we built a fast car, we made an impression, and we were able to get some sponsors, and it's just sort of been rolling from there.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned about Ken Schrader. I saw on your website that you used like all your life savings to purchase an ARCA car from him. So that like shows like your drive and hunger to race in the ARCA series. So what does it mean for you to know that you have raced in 15 total ARCA races now?
I think about that all the time, and it's baffling to me. I can't quite fathom it. It was just everything I took to get to that first one, and when I bought the car, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to, I bought the car in April, and I figured if I didn't get one sponsor, I could probably make enough money at my job, because that was during COVID, so we weren't racing, and actually the restaurant business was really good because people weren't going out, so it's actually a good time in the world to be a delivery driver. But I figured, if I sat and saved from then on all the way till the race, I could, pay for the race. And that was the plan, and it just sort of worked. We went to the test, and we weren't super fast, and we just kept working on it, and we ended up with a car that had a lot of speed. And actually, my first big sponsor was One Rail here. And we went to the track, and we just, with some help from Carl Fredrickson of Speedway Illustrated, we were able to present ourselves the right way at the track, and we got some really good media attention from it. And one of the first people I was talking to right after that race was Kevin LaPierre, and that's he had been involved with a couple different companies, and he's been helping me, find sponsors and put deals together, and putting his Dax Markets thing on our car for a couple years now. And now he's in a car ownership role, and I'm the driver. So without being at Daytona and being able to connect the dots and all that, I don't know how in the world I ever could have, put all that together. But certainly got lucky. That really good friend Bruce Baccia, who put me in contact with Kevin, and the kind of the rest is history. But it's a thousand things. Obviously, we have all these sponsors on the car, and we have Wheel and Engineering now, and Florida Safety Systems, and Automotive Consultants, Yukon Creek, and Planter Box Direct, and Thermal Foams, and all these sponsors that came on as a result of that. But it was just, really just that first Daytona weekend, just putting ourselves in a position to be successful. And I'm just lucky that it worked out the way that it did, because it could have gone any which way, and it was, it's kind of crazy to think about it. And I almost think I owe a lot of it, and all the success, it might really be just due to practice, because we went out in that race weekend practice, and my spotter TJ Majors put us in a really good draft, and we posted the second quick time on the day, and we were right behind the Gibbs car, and they had us in the headline, on the ARCA website. And it just, the whole deal just just sort of took off from there. And then we got a nice spotlight feature in the race, and that got a lot of attention. And it's just sort of crazy the way it all worked out, and how many tiny little things had to go just right for it to work out. And I think about that all the time, and how easily it would be to not have had all those opportunities and not be sitting here, with 15 ARCA starts, because it was like a thousand things need to happen perfectly, and a thousand people needed to get together and get behind my deal and help me out. And if you take away, any, a couple of those little details, I don't think it works out. So I'm lucky.
For sure, yeah. And just the drive and the journey, like the long journey of getting there, is definitely inspiring. So and then you mentioned that you like a lot of your savings is part of your pizza delivery motive you've been doing. So one of your competitors from Daytona, Brayton Laster, calls himself the Pizza Man, as his Twitter name is the one Pizza Man. So do you want to take his crown as the one pizza man, or is that all his?
No, it's all his. I've been at the same job for 17 years, and I love all my coworkers, and I have a lot of fun when I go to work. It's relaxing, and they work really hard to accommodate my absolutely absurd racing schedule, and I'm very happy there. But certainly, I want to be defined as a race car driver. So I think it's a cool side note that people get a kick out of that, but at the end of the day, we all got to go to work, and that's just at least at this time in my life, that's the position that works well for me, mostly because of the, I mean, just the absolute, I mean, I disappear for 2 months sometimes, and it's something where I can, as long as I get everything covered, I can come back and I still have a job when I need it, during the winter months, from October to December, I'm working 40, 50 hours a week. So, there's no other career I can think of where you're going to be able to have that kind of flexibility as far as making your own hours until you start your own business. And I certainly don't have time to do that. So I'm happy where I'm at. And, if everyone thinks it's a cool story, then I'm happy to share it.
Yeah, for sure. And what is your favorite pizza topping?
Actually a vegetarian. So, I usually like banana pepper mushroom, or some combination of the two. Those are always good pizzas. So, usually kind of a health nut too. So, but I'm gonna eat a pizza. I'll definitely have a lot of veggies on it, maybe some broccoli.
Okay, awesome. And the other drivers you raced against at Daytona, who are also from your home state of New York, are Sean Corr and Ed Pompa. So Corr is similar in your age group. So did you ever find yourself racing against him early on in your career, even before entering the ARCA scene?
I actually didn't even know Ed Pompa was from New York. I'll have to go introduce myself now. But I've talked to Sean Corr. He's kind of on the other side of the state, and he was kind of a dirt guy. So people don't realize how big New York State is. It takes me about 8 hours to get to New York City. So it's he's kind of on the other. So basically, I'm on the western side of the state, and dirt racing is really more prevalent in New York, but it the asphalt racing exists on my side, and the dirt racing is really big on the other side. That's where you see like Stuart Friesen winning at Utica Rome and all the tracks out there. So, never really had an opportunity to cross paths with Sean Corr, but at the ARCA Series, obviously we do, and he's always been kind and friendly to me. And he's doing his thing, and I'm doing my thing, and we've been lucky in our careers that we get to go do the all this ARCA stuff. And obviously, cool guy to know.
Yeah, for sure. And then I also did research. Notable drivers from the state of New York are NASCAR Hall of Famers Richie Evans and Jerry Cook, NASCAR Cup champion Bill Rexford, the Bodines, Donnie Lea, Steve Park, Greg Sachs, Andy Lally, Regan Smith, Stuart Friesen, and Christian Eckes. So what does it mean to share the same home state with all those drivers for you?
Ooh, Stewie's from Canada. He spent a lot of time down here, though. Actually, his family owned Lancaster Speedway. But yeah, everyone on that list that rings a bell. I didn't know about Bill Rexford. That's kind of cool. But when you hear that list, you hear a lot of lot of modified names, obviously, and I think that's pretty cool that we all kind of share that background. And you know, there isn't been, you know, a ton of guys going down in NASCAR from around here that have really been had a chance to be successful at, you know, obviously, you know, Richie Evans would be the guy you think of the most, but you know, for the most part, we really don't have a lot of representatives in NASCAR. But you know, it I guess I'm trying to put the right words to it, but you definitely want to be someone that represents the, you know, the community and the state. And obviously, I think of myself more like Western New York, Buffalo area. So, you know, when you see us down there, we're certainly representing our Buffalo Bills and everything else that we can do while we're down there. So it's cool. You know, I think the biggest thing I take away from it is just trying to let people know how cool racing really is over here in Western New York. We have all these awesome tracks, the ROC series and Lancaster Speedway, and there's so many good tracks and drivers and people, and Patrick Emmerling's from up here and he's doing all his stuff down there. And you know, just kind of sharing that with everybody that probably doesn't even know it's up here, but it we have a great racing region, and I got a huge sports system behind me, and we want to go make a crowd.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like every state has their like own unique like aspect of their of all the series and tracks and all for that. So that's really cool.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. I mean, New York, I think, has the third most tracks in the country per state. I think it's Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and then New York. So, you know, we got a lot of race. It's always been that way. And it's more dirt than asphalt, but you know, we've always had a ton of racing up here, and it's a rich history, and it's something I'm proud to be a part of.
Yeah, it's crazy. I never knew that. So that's really cool. So there are many tracks you will be potentially racing at for the first time in your career this season, depending on your schedule, because I saw that you're part-time this season still, are you?
Yeah, we're pretty much sticking with a similar schedule. We just kind of want to do the conjunction races and then kind of go from there.
Okay.
We're gonna add Michigan. Is gonna be a new one. Possibly Mid-Ohio.
Okay, yeah, definitely. So Mid-Ohio would be your first time on that course, but you have road course experience in Watkins Glen, and I guess walk me through, that's your home state track. Walk me through that, and was it your first time also racing a road course before that?
Yes, and we didn't get any practice either. So my first true laps there were actually in my first race. We broke the first lap of practice, but yeah, it's in my home state. You know, part of this drive, at least that whatever I contributed to all the wonderful things our team has going on. A lot of the ambition I had to go do it was I would always go to the Cup weekend race at Watkins Glen with my stepson. And he's always been like my biggest fan, cheerleader, and believing in me. And he'd go every year, and every year he'd look at me. I could just see he'd ask me, "How come you're not out there? Why aren't we doing this? Like, what's it take?" And then I spent all these years making excuses. Well, you know, it takes a lot of money and a lot of this and a lot of that. He just got to a point where, you know, we had to take a chance, and you know, Daytona was the one. And certainly, once Daytona went well, and I could see that there was a pathway for me to keep doing this, Watkins Glen was one that I immediately circled, that was one we were going to go to, just for that reason. Just to like bring my stepson there and say, "Look, like, there you go. We're out here. Look at us." So, I guess probably if Watkins Glen wasn't my home track, I don't know if road course racing would really be quite the focus that it's going to become, and become more so this year. But you know, I definitely have always had interest in road course racing. Ayrton Senna's one of my favorite drivers. Always love the F1 stuff, but it's just a totally different animal, and it's something that you know, with the downshifting and the way we do it in those cars, it's not something that you can really practice anywhere other than there. So that's kind of what I usually struggle with, is getting the thing down in the gears, going down into turn one and into turn 10. I tend to wheel hop a little bit till I get things calmed down a little bit, but it slows down the day. But Looking into doing some driving schools this year and hopefully stepping up the program. And certainly, Ted Marsh getting so involved with all my racing stuff and everyone from Whelen certainly helped because they have a plethora of road course experience. And it's cool to be able to go to Watkins Glen and look over the pit and see all the Whelen guys there and Ted Marsh and knowing all the history that they have at the road course stuff. So it gives me a lot of confidence and makes me want to go out there and perform better.
Yeah, for sure. That's very awesome. And as a sim or a track that's kind of near New York as well as Pocono, and you have the opportunity to race there last season. So what would you say, because it's called the Tricky Triangle, is the most challenging turn on that track?
Turn one's tough because you don't hit turn one just right. You end up you get that thing pushing and it'll take off. You might hit the damn wall. So, knowing where to brake over there, turn one's definitely the trickiest and it's the one where you can make and lose the most speed too, based on if you hit it wrong or, the biggest thing with that one is just don't overdrive it. You want to, you're going so fast on the front straightaway and you think you're going to send it off in there and it just doesn't work the way you think it's going to work. And you end up, you get the front end chattering coming off there. You just scrub off so much speed the whole rest of the lap. But, the tunnel turn is just about hammer down and hope you get the bump the right way. And the turn three, is really about just coming off with exit speed. So the big thing that I picked up over there was just we practiced and practiced and practiced and someone got on the radio and said move up a little bit off three and I ran like the middle groove and I throttled into it harder. We picked up like a second, like it was something crazy. Just carrying that front straightaway speed for that long makes such a difference. So it's a very, very, very technical track. It's one that you really It doesn't pay to hustle it. It doesn't pay to sail the thing around and be a hero. You got to feel the car all the way around the track because it's going to be spinning out in the tunnel turn. It's going to be pushing like a dump truck off of turn one. And, turn three, you're kind of riding right on the edge of marbles, really, because you want to get as high as you can to carry that speed. But if you get up too high, which I've done twice, it'll take off and you'll end up flipping the wall off of turn three. So, it's probably the most stressful track that we run on, really, just driving. But it's challenging, and challenging is good. So I like it.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I guess just like every little like step in or like everything with that, like you have to get like little every little detail on that track like perfect. You said like it was technical and stuff, so yeah, for sure. And then so another question, what was your very first racing number?
Say it one more time. Something beeped on my thing.
What was your like when you first started racing as a kid, what was your very first racing number?
Oh, 73.
Okay, so the same as your father. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and then the 57. So I remember he said, Mike, I got a Sportsman modified ride when I was pretty young out of the street stocks, and it was for a guy named Jim Salzbeck, and he was number 57, and he carried me along and got me so far along in my career before he retired. And I was always grateful for that and grateful to be able to carry his number. So you see all my race cars, I usually try to do half and half. So half my cars will be 57, half my cars will be 70. So I usually just, and I switch it up, the modified's been 57, switch that back and forth. But we have a new modified on the it's not new, it's 2004, but we're just flipping it. And if we ever get it done, I plan on making that one a 37 just to mix it up a little bit and run my Uncle Tommy's number. So I try to mix it up, try to be different.
Yeah, it's very cool. Just mixing up and all. So, obviously, you are from a racing family, but as a young kid, have you ever thought of pursuing a different career path than racing?
I'm not even sure I ever thought of racing as a career path, but no, not really. I've always doing pretty much what I wanted to do when I was five, and I'm still doing it. So I guess that makes me one of the lucky ones. I never really grow up. So I'm gonna do it until I can't do it no more, and then I'm gonna probably keep trying to do it a little bit longer after that. So we'll hopefully I have a very, very long career in this sport, and hopefully the everything that we are able to or everything that we're doing keeps being successful, and I'm able to accomplish goals and find new goals to go chase. And that's the spice of life for me. So when I was in a street stock, it was unfathomable to think that we'd ever win a sports and modified race. And then it was like hard to imagine ever winning a modified race. And then the indoor midget stuff never, when you start in that, it seems so daunting. And you keep chipping away at stuff. And I've been lucky to be successful and be able to knock down all these goals that I've had. And ARCA is no different. And I feel like right now we're sort of knocking on the door, maybe even getting an ARCA win. And hopefully that happens and we can cross that threshold. And maybe all the people we got behind us, maybe we keep going, and maybe we're doing something else next. And but I think that's the key to it, is just having goals and waking up every day with a purpose, and trying to be successful at something, and not getting stagnant, and not trying to do the same thing over and over again, and finding new dreams to chase. So I hope I get to do that till I'm 100 years old, because that's my reason I got out of bed this morning. That's the reason I'm gonna get out of bed tomorrow. And it's an exciting thing.
Yeah, for sure. Just having the racer mind and stuff in your veins, so and all that for sure. So, where is your team based at? Is it in New York or is it somewhere else?
We're sort of in a transitional period. So I've been running it out of Buffalo, New York, the last couple of years. We still have a couple of cars up here with Kevin LaPierre and Andy Seiss, making a significant increase as far as the involvement with, the racing activities and all that. It's sort of transitioning where it's going to be, the ARCA side is going to be located out of Statesville. I imagine we'll still do some stuff up here, maybe build some stuff, but for the most part, ARCA stuff's going to be in Statesville, North Carolina, and all my modified midget stuff's going to be up here in New York. And we'll kind of just go from there. I don't know what the season looks like once the ARCA season starts coming up this way. I imagine it's still back and forth to Statesville, but however I can contribute, and however Andy Seiss, who kind of makes a lot of those decisions, along with our crew chief Mike Dayton, whatever those guys think is gonna be best, is what we're gonna do. But I'm pretty sure it's gonna be run out of Statesville.
Yeah, for sure. And what would you say has been your greatest accomplishment so far in your racing career?
Don't know. There's a lot of on the track stuff that's pretty cool. Worked really hard to win a Gambler's Classic, and now we won three of those, and Race of Champions 250, and being successful at, going to Daytona and having a couple strong runs has been quite an achievement. But I just think for me, really, what it all really all boils down to is just the fact that whatever it is I'm doing out there is been a good enough reason for people to get behind me and help support me. And I think that's what I really take to heart. And I'm not making that up. I'm not just saying that because it sounds like the right answer, but the thing I'm most proud of is just that people want to be part of it, that people want to support me, that people want to sponsor me, that people want to work on my car, that people want to own my car, that people want to go to the races and cheer for me. Whatever I am, or whatever I'm doing on the racetrack, or whatever I'm saying on Facebook or whatever, it's something that people want to get behind and want to help me out and want to support. And I think that's the biggest compliment that I could think of. So for me, it's just the biggest accomplishment for me has just been that I've able to bring so many people along for the ride. And I'm not going to say the word inspire because I don't want to give myself too much credit, but just doing everything we're doing, and it's something that people want to be a part of and help out with. So that's what's cool for me. And you know, that's what I'm going to take the most out of it. And, you know, all the trophies are cool. I got a whole pile of them back there, but you know, it's all the memories and it's all the people, and it's carry on a legacy that was started by my dad and my uncle. And you know, obviously they both passed away in race cars. So you know, when I was little, I wasn't thinking about all the races I wanted to win. I was thinking about, you know, their story. And you know, it meant so much to me. And now I kind of feel like, you know, their story's still going because I'm still racing, and it's all our story now. And we're kind of, you know, when hopefully I get to pass it along, and our family's racing forever and ever, and it's all one big story. But I love that in the year 2023, you know, all these people are still learning about my dad and my uncle. And I had this awesome, you know, platform now to kind of talk about our family and all our history, and we get to carry on and be part of that legacy. So that's what matters to me, is just you know, all the people and how much it means to everybody.
For sure, that's very awesome. And so growing up in your childhood, who would you say was your favorite NASCAR Cup driver?
Dale Earnhardt.
That's an awesome choice there.
Oh yeah, no, that wasn't even close. Yeah, I don't think I couldn't go to school for a month after he passed away. But yeah, no, it was Dale Earnhardt. You know, lived and breathed for that stuff. So that's probably a really common answer, but I mean, that was just the guy. So don't need to be longer answering that.
Yeah, it's very awesome. And so something unique you do is that you often sport a bandana and sunglasses. So what's the drive and meaning behind that?
Well, I don't like the sun in my eyes. That's where the sunglasses come from. But the bandana, so I end up I've had longer hair the past few years, and that's really honestly the only place it started. I have very naturally curly hair, and I think it looks stupid when I put a helmet on all day because I start sweating and it starts going nuts. But I always thought I looked silly because I like my long hair, but I always thought it looked silly at the racetrack. So I hate hats. So the bandana was just something to kind of help keep my hair down a little bit. Maybe, you know, make people not look at my hair. Maybe they'll look at the bandana instead. And, I don't know. Bentley Warren did it. It looked pretty cool. So I figured why not? So, started with the bandana thing, and, you know, not a lot of guys do it. So I just stuck with it.
Yeah, it's very unique. Like usually people cover their hair with hats, so that's very unique with that.
Yeah,
So what was it like at Daytona to race Frankie Muniz, a well-known actor, and have you watched any of his TV series and movies?
I grew up with Malcolm in the Middle. I think we're about the same age, me and Frankie. So yeah, I mean, that was after the NASCAR race. It was on Fox. You had Malcolm in the Middle. So grew up watching him. You know, I try not to. You know, I haven't actually spoken with Frankie yet. You know, he's there to race, so I'm not gonna go over there and fanboy him, you know, on a race day. And that's the only time I see him, is a race day. So maybe one of these days we'll be able to, you know, by whoever sitting at an autograph table or something, maybe we'll, you know, talk a little bit. Who knows? But you know, I respect his desire to go do it. He's probably, you know, he's a guy that's accomplished a lot. Obviously, he's a movie star and doesn't need to add anything to his resume. So he obviously is out here because he has the drive and inspiration to go do it. And I think it's cool, and I hope he's successful. And you know, certainly it's bringing a lot of new people that are paying attention to the ARCA series, so I think it helps all of us. I use the example of the Southern Modified Tour. Couple years ago, Bobby Labonte started running full time, and you could just immediately see an upkick in attention, and it grew the whole series. You know, now the series has more races, has more drivers, has more money. You know, everything about it is better, and it's because more tickets get sold because Bobby Labonte's there. So, to me, having Frankie there, it's a different aspect. So I think it's pretty cool. And certainly he's gonna have to go out there and perform on race day. And it's gonna be a learning curve for him. But I know his team owner over there with Mark Rett, and I think he's with a great group of guys over there. And I expect that they'll get him acclimated, and I think it'll be a lot of fun having him up the series. He's in great equipment, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, for sure. And so Mike Dayton is your crew chief. Has he worked with you for a while now, or is this your first season with you?
No, Mike Dayton was my crew chief right from the start. When I bought the ARCA car, it was actually kind of funny. So he's actually from around me. He's from New York. He's actually from Western New York. He's from Holland. And when I bought the ARCA car, one of the guys at Kentrator Racing, Donnie Richardson, who was involved with our first couple races, he actually hired Mike to mount my seat. Oddly enough, and I happened to be there the day the seat was getting mounted. It was part of my deal when I bought the car, was it was going to come with a mounted seat kind of deal. So he hired Mike Dayton to mount the seat, and we got talking, and I'm like, I got Donnie, but I wouldn't mind having an extra set of hands. Would you be interested in coming and crew chiefing and kind of lighten his load a little bit? And he said yes, and that was kind of it. And then we went out and we had a good run. And, he always said he was only going to do one race, and he keeps trying to get away, but we keep reeling him right back in. So he's a really good guy. He's a smart guy. He's taught me so much, and he's been so patient to be able to teach me all the stuff that he's taught me. But he's probably one of the smartest guys I've ever met in racing. And when things started to develop, with Kevin LaPierre and Andy Seiss, one thing I just kept saying, all along is like, we have to go forward with Mike Dayton. And it was sort of a, part of it, obviously he's my friend, and we want him there, but he's too valuable. I mean, there aren't guys like that around. I mean, he just knows so much stuff, and he doesn't screw around. He goes there. If he's there to work, he's there to work. He'll take a 10-minute break, eat a sandwich, and then it's right back to work. And if you ain't working, he's gonna bark at you. And he's just a great guy to have on the team, and he's a huge reason. Not that we're out there, setting the world on fire, but I mean, if you can imagine how a couple, a group of modified guys from Western New York were able to, go get a, handful of top tens in the ARCA series, you think it'd probably be next to impossible. But the reason, one of the biggest reasons we were able to do that was Mike Dayton, and just all the little stuff he was doing just to kind of keep us, competitive. And so it's awesome to be able to bring him along for the journey. And now I'm excited to, we're going to give him a better opportunity now to be successful as crew chief, because we're going with better cars. And, like I say, he's worrying about making the car faster instead of tightening bolts. So I think that's a big key.
Yeah, it's very cool that how he was there with you in the beginning of your journey there. So, and just having him still there as your crew chief, that's very cool. So, and then well-known spotter TJ Majors is your spotter, who most notably spotted for Dale Earnhardt Jr. What does it mean to have someone with that much experience to spot for you?
It's a big reason that, we've been successful, and certainly when I talk about everything Mike Dayton's done, Andy Seiss has done, I mean, DJ Majors is in the next breath as far as, keeping you out of trouble on the racetrack. And he just has such a keen eye. Like, I'll be at Bristol, and if I let off the gas, 10 feet too late, he can see that. He sees things that I have a hard time feeling in the car. And he never takes a lap off. He never misses anything. I mean, just his level of focus and concentration. The man's just, I can't say enough good things. He's so good at what he does, and it's a rare thing. And we've been lucky to be the beneficiary of it. But he comes on the radio, he's calm, he always knows what to do, he knows where to be, he knows where to put the car, he knows, and The other thing is, like, he's not afraid to take the initiative and make a call. You know, if he thinks I got to be in the other lane, he'll tell me the other lane. And you know what? Nine times out of ten, that lane goes the right way. But if the lane doesn't go the right way, you know, then we live to fight another day. And then it's not like you know, it's never going to be like a finger point thing. You know, we kind of live and die, and we trust him. And you know, we'll roll with it. And if that gives us the best shot, then that's what we're going to do. So, and we're very, very lucky to have TJ, and he's kept us in a couple races through our time that you know, we would have had a hard time with.
Yeah, that's very beneficial though. Those eyes seeing, like those eyes looking at the racetrack with that. So those type of eyes. So that's great. So, what's your favorite track layout you've done? Short track, intermediate, super speedway, or road course?
I've had different experiences at all of them. You know, Charlotte was cool being there. Daytona was awesome being there, and Watkins Glen was surreal to be there. So those are the top three, and they're all completely different. So I don't know what order they go in, but you know, all of it's cool. You know, driving into Talladega is cool because it's Talladega. You know, all these tracks have all this rich history, and you know, I mean, just all of it. I mean, going to Toledo last year was cool, being the headliner and seeing all the stuff that Menards doing for us over there. And you know, I haven't gone to one of these things yet and been disappointed, I promise. But it'd be hard to pinpoint just one. The first time to Charlotte, you know, with the red, white, and blue paint scheme on Memorial Day weekend, you know, that definitely felt pretty cool, you know, race of the day before the 600, and down there in NASCAR country. So that was one that definitely sticks out a little bit. But you know, all of it really. I mean, just you know, how do you find something cooler than Daytona the day before the 500, you know? So it's hard to pinpoint just one. So they're all got their own little unique characteristics.
For sure. And then which drivers from the ARCA field this season do you hang out the most off the track?
I can't say I hang out with anybody off the track. We're all from kind of different areas. I've gotten to meet Jesse Love a little bit, and you know, he approached me about trying to work together a little bit in the race. And you know, so he I he comes or he'll come right up to me, and he's like, "Hey, good job in the, you know," I'd never talked to him before. He's like, "Hey, really cool, good run with the midgets." We knew about that. So he seems like a really good kid. He's probably the next superstar that's going to come out of ARCA, that's going to go on to do NASCAR things. You know, so he's definitely a cool kid. So of my 3 years there, right away, he's probably made the best first impression as far as, you know, whatever my measuring stick matters. But yeah, Jesse Love seems pretty cool. Always been really good with the Gibbs guys. I haven't really gotten to know Connor yet, but certainly probably should go have a conversation with him one of these days, but haven't had that opportunity. But you know, it's kind of cool, you know, and you know, you're racing with guys, and hopefully I want to keep going further, obviously too. But you know, I raced against Ty Gibbs for a year, and I've had a couple of conversations with him, and he always came across as a really nice kid and super down to earth. And always enjoyed chit-chatting with him. And then, you know, a year later, you're watching these guys on Sundays, and you know, so it's pretty cool, and it's definitely a mix. And then you got like Willie Mullins has always been cool to me, kind of on the other end. And you know, me and Greg Van Alst hugged it out after the race, and you know, I was so happy for him, you know. So I have friendships when I see these guys. But it's definitely a mixed bag in ARCA, and I think it's pretty cool to, you know, see all the different storylines that are going on. You know, you got, you know, development drivers that are gonna go on to NASCAR in a year, and you got, you know, younger drivers with a, you know, like a social media presence that are, you know, finding sponsors and trying to go out there and prove they can drive. And then you got, you know, the short track guys that just always wanted to do it. And I don't know where I land. I'm probably somewhere in the middle, probably a little bit closer to the short track guys, but you know, a lot of ambitions to keep going too. So We'll see. I kind of mix in with all the crowds, so I try to just fit in right in the middle and be friendly with everybody and just enjoy the experience.
Yeah, that's a very cool perspective there with all the drivers and such. So one fun fact I researched, did you know you were born the same day as Matt Kenseth?
Same year.
Or same day. So March 10th.
No, I didn't know that. It's funny. I really didn't. You'd think I would have picked up on that all those years I was watching all the NASCAR stuff, but no, didn't know that. Yeah, I guess he would be a couple years older. Yeah, because he was a NASCAR rookie in 2000, so he's got to be in his 40s. So, nope, didn't know that.
Yeah, I just thought that was a fun token there. And then, do you enjoy watching any other sports?
Yeah, big football fan. I'm a hockey fan when the Sabres don't stink, but they stunk for like 15 years, so it's a little hard to watch right now. But avid football fan, more so when the Bills are doing good. But always watching football for sure. I do enjoy basketball. We don't have a team up here, so I gotta kind of pick my story that I want to follow every year. And some years I get more into it than others. Some years I'm rooting against Golden State because they took Kevin Durant, and then last year I was rooting for Golden State because they were coming back from injuries, and I thought it was a cool story. And when Cleveland is playing good, I probably align myself closest to Cleveland, so they're playing pretty good this year, so I kind of keep an eye on it. But usually, once football's over, I take a little hiatus, and then I start kind of getting more into the basketball side of it. So it's always fun to watch the playoff stuff once that comes around. And just kind of waiting for my Sabres to get it together.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully one of these seasons. But
True. We lost 7-1 last night.
yeah, for sure. But so outside of racing, what do you enjoy to do in your free time?
Oh God, what free time. I don't know. I find ways to stay busy. Did a marathon a couple years ago. I like running. I don't know how we got into it, but we started doing cliff diving, and a couple, like my stepkids go to a lot of the races, and then we have one guy on the team that's 21 that he got into it too with us. So if I have a day off in the summer, a nice warm day, usually we go try to find some waterfall to jump off of, and hopefully don't crack our heads on a rock. So that's been the summer activity lately. So but just mostly because racing's kind of year round right now. We got indoor midgets, we got winter stuff at Daytona, we got all everything, the season starts, it never really ends. I mean, we got like a month off in December. Actually, right now is my longest off season. I don't really have anything between Daytona and Talladega, is one of our indoor midget races, which is supposed to be next week and got canceled because they had a problem with the building. But I'm on like a little 2 month break right now, which is probably the longest racing break I've had in a while, to be honest. When I get some downtime, I probably just try to relax a little bit and just go find stuff to do with my stepkids and my girlfriend. I took the stepkids ice skating a couple weeks ago, and trying to stay active, finding ways to blow off steam, and just try to have some fun. There's always a lot more to do in Buffalo than people think, so I try to get the most out of it.
Yeah, for sure. And then, do you have any siblings or pets?
I got my turtles and my hermit crabs. And then I got my brother, Tommy, who's not into the racing stuff, but he keeps an eye on me and always sports me. And he'll go to a couple races a year, but he's kind of the black sheep of the family. He don't really like the racing thing.
Yeah, it's very cool. And so now we're going to end this with some fun questions that I've come up with.
Okay.
So the first one is, have you been overseas?
No, and I always say, so I don't know, when I was younger, I had a video game, and I always became a fan of the series that runs in England called the Brisca F1 series. And I've always wanted to go over there and race one of those cars. So I always joke around with, I have a friend from England, two friends from England. One of them just passed away, kid and his dad. But We always joked around, and we still joke around. And I still think someday we will do it. Putting a deal together, I go over there and race in England in the Briscoe series. So, would love to go do it. Would love to go like see Nürburgring and some of the cool F1 facilities that are over there. So, would love to go do it someday, but have not yet.
That's very cool. And where would you relocate if you were forced to leave the country?
Oh God, I don't even know. I'm trying to learn Spanish, maybe I go to Argentina. I don't know. Somewhere where there's racing, so probably not Argentina.
That's awesome. And what is on your bucket list?
Oh God, as far as what? I don't know. I feel like I'm the bucket list is long, 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 long. There's six things I said I wanted to do in a race car before I ever quit that I had to do, and I've done five of them now. A competitive lap at Daytona was one, and now we're doing this deal. But I want to win the Spring Sizzler at Stafford is probably the last thing that I feel like I absolutely have to do, in a race car. I'd love to say before it's over that, I made a cup start. That'd be really cool. So I'd say, either one of those two.
Yeah, it's very awesome. And what, who is your all-time favorite Disney character?
Lightning McQueen or Doc Hudson. I don't know. I always love those movies. They kind of land on the history just right. So, I always thought it was cool how close they paid attention to a couple little details that for a NASCAR history buff like myself, I caught. So that made me feel smart watching them.
Yeah, it's very cool having that racing connection with car the Cars movie. So, and then, do you have any nicknames?
None that have stuck. I guess Andy J is kind of a nickname. I guess it is. Because it's I'll just call me Andy J. So, Andy J.
It's awesome. And then, if you could be any type of dog, what breed would you be and why?
I could be a dog. I'd probably be, I don't know, one of the smarter breeds. Can't think what they're called now. Definitely one of the smarter breeds, maybe like a golden shepherd or something, sure.
That's very cool. And what is your all-time dream vacation?
Always wanted to drive Route 66, and I will someday once I get some free time. But I wanted to go find the traditional Route 66 path and grab my girlfriend or my stepdaughter and just go run it and just go do that for a week. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that would sound really awesome. And then bone-in or boneless wings, and then favorite flavor.
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
No, I haven't always been. It's only been a couple of years, but no, boneless wings aren't wings. Boneless wings are chicken, a tiny chicken tender. So no, you gotta have wings in them. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just the silliest thing. But definitely, on my chicken wing eating days, definitely some char bar barbecue is probably the best ones.
That's awesome. And favorite ice cream flavor?
Put me on the spot here. Pistachio. I'm gonna go with pistachio.
That's a new one. I don't hear that one often. So that's really unique.
Yeah, the best.
And then favorite music genre and favorite artist and song of that genre?
I don't know what REM is. I think REM is just REM, but REM's always been my favorite band. Hard to pick one song by them, but probably Man on the Moon if I had to pick just one.
That's cool. And then, do you play any instruments?
In my teenage years and in trying to impress females, I took a stab at the guitar Fiddled around with it for a couple of years, but I don't think I ever got to a place where you could say I played it. So I could drift my way through a couple little songs, but no, just racing, racing, racing.
That's very cool. And then so we're gonna wrap this interview with so people at P Pass Network like to donate to a charity after each interview. So which charity do you want to highlight for us to donate for you?
Could we do the Rod Spalding charity for injured drivers? I feel like it's probably kicked around a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that charity works.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Andy, for joining us for today's interview of Pit Pass Network. And I wish you the best of luck the rest of this season and the years to come.
All right, thanks so much, man. And like I say, if you ever want to reach out and do an interview, I'd be more than happy. And I want to say very awesome congratulations to my friends, the Schulers, Ed and Callie, just had a baby. Beautiful daughter, and her first two initials are going to be AJ. So I think that's even cooler. So maybe she'll be a race car driver. But I just want to say congratulations to my friends.
Yeah, that's very cool having that connection there, the AJ initials and all that. So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Andy, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much.